here we go again, it's the game we love.
Play game.
You are listening to KBOO Community Radio, and this is Winner's Bias, America's first, best, and only live board game radio show.
Until proven otherwise.
A show about board games and forcing people out of their comfort zones. I am your host, Nate, and with me is my buddy, James. How are you doing, James?
I'm not too bad today. How are you, Nate?
I'm doing very well. As a reminder, you can comment on our show live using the OLARC messaging system, which I have just launched because I remembered. Nope, I haven't. It didn't work. But anyway, in a moment you'll be able to. Just click on the Chat With Us button in the lower right corner of the window if the internet wants to work. This is unforeseen.
Off to a good start.
A great start here. Before we get started, we want to let you know that we are in the midst of our Camp KBOO Summer Membership Drive, focusing on the community and making Camp KBOO summer memories. To support, whittle some small animals out of branches, compete in the steeplechase, and taunt the rival camp across the lake, then go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321 to become a monthly sustaining member today. Help us reach our fundraising goal of $50,000. I am very happy to welcome some special guests to the show, my parents, Ginny and Jeff. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yep. Lovely having you two here.
I will probably call them Mom and Dad and not Ginny and Jeff, just so
you listeners. I might stick to Ginny and Jeff, if you don't mind.
That'd be good.
Okay. So I don't think you would call yourselves board game hobbyists by any stretch of the imagination, but we've been playing games my whole life. Do you have a favorite game? Dad, why don't you answer first?
My favorite game is Pit. And as I tell everybody that nobody will play it with me.
Yeah. Well, describe it for us.
It's an old card game where you collect commodities, agricultural products, and you try to get a complete set without about 8 cards. And then there's a bull and a bear, and you get to ring a bell.
You have to race to ring the bell. You have to be the first.
Right.
And it's a very shouty game. It feels like a very cap-specific game.
It is good and loud, and when we played with another family, their kids couldn't take the sound.
Yeah, and our cards get all beat up, especially the bull and the bear cards, and everybody knows when they're getting the bull or the bear, which makes it an even higher level of fun to try to sneak them into your cards.
Are card games your usual preferred type of game?
Not mine. I like... When Nathan was growing up, he and I played chess, and I played backgammon with my youngest daughter. And our oldest daughter really didn't play games with us.
You also liked Othello a lot, too.
Yes.
So the old abstracts.
So did Emily, too.
Yeah. You never let me win chess. So I think I beat you once in my life at chess. So maybe we should have a rematch. Oliver's been playing chess.
We can do that, and some of the other grandkids are playing it.
Yeah. Mom, what about you?
Well, I grew up playing Pinochle. I don't even remember a time when I didn't play Pinochle with my parents. And we started playing, gosh, when I was really young. And we played six-handed Pinochle because we had six in our family. And we played with 3 decks. So it was really a lot of fun.
And can you describe Pinochle for us?
I don't know if I can. It's a game of taking tricks.
Yep, it's a trick-taking game.
It's a trick-taking game.
Which are very in vogue right now.
Oh, okay. Well, then let's play Pinochle.
Yeah, it's a very weird game because you only play with, like, maybe the 9s to the aces, but usually it's just 10s to aces, right?
Yeah, if you play with more than one deck. You only play with the 9s if you're playing single-hand Pinochle.
Which you've never done with us.
Well, because you only play with 3 people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And your dad still carries around his cheat sheet.
Well, that's hilarious. You guys used to play regularly with friends as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like long into adulthood. You were having game nights long into adulthood,
right?
Just like me. I'm just carrying on the tradition.
There you go.
Did Nate ever win at those games? Like the chess? Or were you just too competitive?
I'm not sure we played that much Pinochle.
Yeah, and Pinochle's a team game
it
too.
Is.
So, you know, I could really rely on someone on the team. Though I think we usually did by gender, so it would be like me and Dad.
Right.
And so I know you have feelings about Dad's Pinochle playing.
Well, we always played with my mom and Dad played also, and they were very competitive. My mom was an excellent Pinochle player. Very intentional with it.
And then you and I used to play Rummy 500, which I've learned that it's called. We always said Gin Rummy, but there's so many variations.
Right.
And that's where I learned how to be a good loser and how not to be a bad winner, because you would always do little songs.
I never said I was a good winner or a good loser for that matter.
And of course, we grew up not playing Monopoly.
Definitely not playing Monopoly.
Why would you not be playing Monopoly?
I'm a terrible attitude with Monopoly. And
she's aggressive.
I'm very aggressive. I really don't understand why people won't sell me their properties.
She made my older sister cry on Christmas Day.
And I told you I didn't want to play Monopoly.
You made her do it.
Yeah.
It was our fault, but we thought Mom could rein it in for Christmas sake.
The only time we ever had a huge fight in college was when everybody insisted on playing Monopoly, and it was a disaster. Just not my game.
I wonder what it is about Monopoly that has given it this reputation, because obviously, that's not obvious, but The Simpsons had a whole Monopoly ward of a hospital for Monopoly-related injuries. And so, like, someone needs to really research, like, why does Monopoly cause this much anger and frustration?
This makes me feel good, because I thought it was only me.
Oh, no, it gets bad in my family, mainly because of me. I think I'm the competitive one
there
in my
you go.
Family, and it brings out my anger. It's such a long game, and it's so tedious that it's so easy to get angry with nothing, with just the little things in that game.
It's all the house rules that come into it. People start modifying it to their own desires.
To make themselves win. I don't like house rules for that reason. It's like, no, you're trying to get yourself to win. Mm. Play it by the rules so I can win.
So maybe you just want a house rule that James wins all
James
games.
James wins. You come in this house, I win.
There you go.
I mean, with our James games, you are winning quite a few of them. So
I know, you like to follow my house rule, which I appreciate.
Right. I need to keep you interested in playing new games, and if you're always getting crushed, then that would not make you want to keep playing.
That's fair. Understandable.
So was it important for you to play games with us children in the house, or was it just something that, like, oh, we liked playing games, so we would keep playing games?
Well, I think it's really important because, especially as you guys were growing up, there's so many things that take you away from the house. I mean, we couldn't even really eat dinner because everybody was going five different directions. So, having a game night or having just everybody being around, it was very nice. It was nice to be with the family. It was nice to laugh and have a great time with just our individual unit of people. Don't you think so, honey?
Yep. And I know that for Christmas, I would look at games. That's the one year it was the Ravensburg games are really good. That's when we found Labyrinth.
And Enchanted Forest.
And Enchanted Forest and the Midnight Party or something like that. And the grandkids today still like to play mm-hmm. those games.
Yeah. I mean, those were classics. We had picked up Labyrinth for your grandchildren, my kids, because that was just a really cool game. And you said that you grew up playing games with your family, so
yes.
It was probably pretty innate. But your family was also, like, very involved in competitive sports as well, and so I wonder if that has any influence in, like, bringing competition home. We can't play a baseball game right now, but we mm-hmm. could try to beat up on our family members.
Possibly, and my whole family is very competitive for the most part, with a lot of things. But yeah, definitely, we just enjoyed each other's company too.
With the competitiveness, especially with like the Nate playing chess with you, Jeff, and
yep.
your monopoliness, did you ever feel like you might, when they're younger, let them win at the game, or are you just like, no, they have to win themselves?
I don't think I've ever let anybody win a game.
Because yeah, I'm the same with my kids. I'm like, no, they're going to have to beat me if they want to. I'm not going to lie to my gaming.
I'm a little bit more loosey-goosey with my grandkids. I let them win occasionally. And of course, there's games like Memory that I do with my real younger ones that literally they kill me every time. I'm old now, you know. I have no memory left.
Did you have something to say, Dad?
I forgot already.
Oh, that's okay.
With the chess games, were you just Nate, not that good, or were you just like
you just get to the point too where you know you're starting out just playing for men.
Yeah.
And then it eventually gets down. You know that you can always win if you have two castles. That you can work them into a corner. And I did that with my younger grandchildren recently. So you let them think that they're winning. Let them take your major pieces. But you know you always have a win.
It just teaches them a harsh lesson about life.
So yeah. It's really just a lesson in psychological warfare here. It's just like really crush your kids. Like, I'm going to win. No, you're not.
Bring them up to crush them down.
They do have to learn to lose.
Yes.
And accept it.
Oliver just played with Andrea, my wife, played chess, and Oliver was crushing her. She made a few like not so great plays, but she doesn't play chess, and so that's fine. And I said, all right, Oliver, now you need to watch out because you don't want to play her into a stalemate. And 5-10 moves later, Oliver had played her into a stalemate. He just totally missed his checkmate move, and they wound up in a draw, and it was very funny to watch. What I've done with playing with Oliver and Ellis is I will not capitalize on some of their weaker moves, or I'll just be like, hey, if you do this, this is what's going to happen, and give them the space to take it back if they want. But I still like... I don't go easy on them. I will still crush them, but I will like give them take moments to be like, all right, this might be a better move, or this might be a better direction to go in.
They need to be coached.
Yeah, a little bit. We're going to do a quick reset right now, and then we'll come right back to things. So you are listening to 90.7 KBOO Portland. If you're just tuning in, I'm Nate, here with James, and this is Winner's Bias, a show about the board gaming hobby. We're talking to my parents, Jenny and Jeff, about growing up playing games. Before we get back to our conversation, I want to remind everyone that today is the first... No, it's not the first day anymore. Old copy. Sorry about that. But we are in the midst of our Camp KBOO summer membership drive, focusing on the community and making memories. Visit us at kboo.fm, and while you're there, be sure to click that donate button. All right, so this sort of is going to bring us into what James has been experiencing with me. So I've been introducing you to a lot of new games over the years, and very much like James has, sometimes throwing you into the deep end with things. So what's it like for you to sit down to play a game you know very little about, have little expectation for in terms of complexity or duration, and be sure to tell the listener how amazing of a teacher and how patient I am.
Well, usually with the more complicated games, I know that I zone out during the introduction. It's just too involved. I don't have the focus. But as you play the game, you see what happens, and you get lucky.
I don't want to put my wins to being lucky, so I'm going to ignore that part.
How does that make you feel when you're like starting to play a game? Because I know some people don't like going into a game without feeling they don't have a grasp of how the game is played. How does that make you feel when you're like a little adrift and lost early in the game?
I just figure it out. It'll happen.
You're not too invested in like playing perfectly on that first time?
No.
Well, and also you're a good coach through it, because how many times does your father make a stupid mistake and you let him take it over?
Yeah,
that's a bone of contention with me, by the way.
It's not a good vibe for having a competitive mother who's like, why are you helping him out? Why are you doing this? And I was like, I do it for everyone.
He doesn't do it for me.
He doesn't need to do it for you. That's why.
There you go.
You're good by yourself.
Thank you, James.
So, how does it feel for you?
Well, I kind of know. I'm always grateful that somebody knows the rules before I do it, because there's been a number of times you've bought us games for Christmas or something, and then we're not, I like to know how to play before I actually sit down. I don't want to read the rules because sometimes those rule books are enormously huge.
Now, to be fair, listener, I'm not buying them the types of games with enormous rule books.
I just,
your definition of a big rule book and my definition of a big rule book may be different.
You're like, do the rules fit on top of the box?
There you go.
No, then that's a big rule book.
That's right.
Do you have to flip pages?
They do make rules videos for almost all of the popular games that are out too. So if you're ever confused, you can just go online and type in like how to play Nana and then you'll get the rules right there.
I also have a phone that I can call my son and he can explain that to me.
Just sit on the phone for 15 minutes, put it on speaker in the middle of the table.
Yeah, well, you remember during COVID we were playing games on the computer.
Yeah,
with each other. That was a lot of fun. Connects with family across the country. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, there's some good websites out there that have games that you can play on there, and it's pretty sweet. It's that was a good use of time for when we were not able to do things.
Right.
When Nate throws me into the deep end with his games, and I come into his house, the games are always set up on the table, and I just have to see how big it is, and I hate that part, and I'm like, oh, what have I thrown myself into? Has that ever been like for you? Do you ever just come in when he set up the game and you're like, oh no, I have to back out of this?
Well, usually when you look at the game and it's taking like a half hour to set it up, it is a little daunting, you know, it really is. But again, I'm, you know, we've gone I've watched a lot of movies that I didn't want to watch over the years with him too, so we, you know, and we just like, it's such a social way to catch up with your family, and we live in Pennsylvania, so it's really nice to be able to come out and spend some real time, even if it, you know, especially with the game.
And it's nice on big family vacations where everybody gets together to have the grandkids really like to play games.
They can't wait for Uncle Nathan to come in. They love it. They love it.
I know. I'm like, instead of Uncle Blockman, which was my uncle who was always building awesome block structures with us, I'm Uncle Board Game.
Yeah, you are, definitely. And the kids love it.
I feel like we're blowing up his ego a bit too much here. We need to bring him down a bit.
Well,
how amazing he is.
I was going to say something to you, because when you're talking about coming in and seeing the game all set up, that is your choice. You choose not to look at the game ahead of time, so you could prepare yourself, but you say, no, I want to be surprised.
I like surprises. It's the spice of life. It keeps
there
things
you
interesting,
go.
Yeah.
It's just sometimes spices don't taste good at first.
And you learn that.
Yeah,
and I keep doing it to myself.
That's right. It's an acquired taste, which I guess is an accumulated taste in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been frustrated by any of the games that we've played together? Like the experience of just like, I don't get this. This isn't fun. I just need it to be over.
Most of them. But as you go along, it's nice to have a game coach there that gets you through it. And then things start to fall in place with experiences. So probably going to one of those game nights where they let you try things out would be a good experience.
Yeah,
I have difficulty with games that you really have to have some sort of intentional strategy to, where you're trying to, I said stratego before, but I like to enjoy my game. I don't like to necessarily overthink my game. And there's like a lot of strategy games I've actually won by being just me, just kind of willy-nilly doing what I want to do. So, I mean, I guess that's a strategy in itself.
Yeah, I mean, it's a strategy in and of itself to be like, I have this one goal, and that's what I'm going to shoot for because that's what I'm understanding about this game right now. And in some games, that is like what they want you to do. They're like, do one thing really well. In other games, they want you to, you have to do everything a little bit well so you can score points in all those areas.
I think that's how I mostly win the games we play, is I just do me and just do like, I like to do this, so I'm going to do it this way and just hopefully I get it. But if I don't, yeah.
So James, tomorrow night, you and I will be head to head on that game,
this is
right?
How we are.
Yeah.
Well, when you played Concordia, James, you were just like, I'm going to get these cards that score me for this parameter, and then you got as many of those as you could, and then you made sure that you maximized that parameter, which is exactly what you're supposed to do. So you played Concordia amazing. It was a great game.
I did it in the best way, and yet it's still, I didn't care for it.
I know. They liked Concordia.
You guys liked Concordia, which is funny, because you've played the game we're going to play tomorrow, the what's it called?
Hansa Teutonica.
And I was like, oh, if you guys must like it, I must like it. It must be an easy game for me, and I enjoy it. But now I've found out you guys like Concordia, and now I don't trust it. I might not like this game anymore.
Preconceived notions. Yeah. Don't have any of them.
Well, it's gonna be a good one. You're gonna like it, James. I promise you. It's highly interactive.
Oh, good. I do like that.
So, what helps you put up with the whole general experience of sitting down? Like, what is it that you're getting out of it? And you kind of touched on it a little bit, I think, before.
We love you.
but that's
the underlying thing is we'll try it. I mean, I go back to the movies.
You're saying you didn't like watching The Proposition?
No, I hate that movie.
You didn't like watching The Mist?
Oh, don't even get me started. But I like the whole social aspect of games, period. I mean, I enjoy our good friends Nancy and Alan, for years, we played Pinochle once every month, really, for a long time until it got to harder. And then even my good friend from high school, we'll get together and play games. They're very specific about what games they will play. They didn't like Nano. Yeah, they hated that, but which we loved.
That's crazy. It's impossible.
Well, it was a new game. They're not open to new games. They have specific games they want to play, which is fine. But I like learning new things. I like exercising my brain, I guess.
So that's what my next question was going to be. Sorry, James.
You carry on.
My next question was, like, I have a stack of games at home right now that, like, you haven't played yet. Some of them I haven't played. And, is that experience of, like, oh, there's going to be, like, five or six games that I have to learn. Would you prefer that it was just, like, I'd rather just come and play games that we've already played before so I can try to get better at those ones? Because I think about this with you, James, all the time. It's like, yeah, we play one game, but we don't really go back to other games. And it's like, we can do that, but also your time is limited, more limited than mine.
I have a very selfish reason for that, is that if I play them for my first time, I haven't played them before, it's all new to me. So if I don't win, I'm like, I didn't know the game too well, I can't win, it's fine. But if I play it again, I know the rules, I know the strategy, so I should do better. So if I do worse, that's on me, and I don't want to feel that.
Oh, interesting.
So what about you two? Would you prefer, like, me just putting down a game in front of you that you have played before so you can get to know it better?
I have games that I like. Like, I like the, what's a camel?
Camel Up.
Camel Up. I like to play that one. I can never remember how to play it without a coach.
Yeah.
And just a number of games that are like that. I mean, I just need help.
Yeah.
Well, and there's games that we play, like Skyfall with... Do you remember that one? Is it Skyfall?
Stationfall?
Maybe that's what it is.
We played that last time with Oliver?
Yeah,
but there's... Space Station one?
No, I think it's Skyfall or something like
that. Spyfall.
Spyfall. There you go. That we played with Mandy's kids all the time. We played...
Because, Mandy's my sister.
Yeah. But they love that. And it's easy to play. And it's something that we could do around the table. I like Azul. I've always liked Azul. And Nana.
It's Japanese for seven.
Okay, seven.
It's actually called Trio in the American release for it. For anyone who's looking for it, it's called Trio. You should possibly look into it. It is awesome game, but the Nana version is the cuter version.
So, I mean, there's a lot of games that I enjoy playing that we have played, but you always give us the opportunity to go through your games while we're there, while we're visiting. And
I give you options. I usually pull out stuff.
I know.
Because, like I said, I have a stack of games. So I'm like, these are the ones. And they're almost all trick-taking games right now.
And I like card games. So, I mean.
And one of them's a team game. So maybe you'll get those Pinochle vibes from this one.
Is there a game that he's made you play that you refuse to play again? That you just had, you just don't like at all?
The one game I don't like is that one where you have to build the railroads. You know, you're drawing it. What's that called?
Is it Railroad Ink? Was it...
And you draw the roads and the intersections. And
yeah, there were little dice on it with roads and trains and...
Yeah, yeah, I don't like that one.
Everyone loves Railroad Ink. That one's just a nice little puzzle. You can just...
I just don't like
that. You just do it by yourself and you just see how good you can make it.
He doesn't like it, Nate. Drop it.
Well, he's not allowed not
I
to.
I do like the interaction of playing a game.
Yeah, and that one's not an interactive game.
There are fun times
and
then you have the frustrating moments that happen. That's just as much fun.
Yeah, and that's definitely the type of game that I like is the ones where you are going to screw up someone else's play. Not like a take that thing where you play a card and it's like, haha, your whole civilization's wiped out, but in ways that you're like, haha, I just stopped you from doing what you want. I wonder if that comes from you playing a lot of two-player games with us as a kid, because there's nothing more direct than a two-player game.
Well, and I've resorted to playing board games on my phone, so I do play backgammon on my phone and Yahtzee and I'm trying to think what else. Spider.
Oh, the Spider Solitaire.
Yeah.
Mom's shaking her head. Everyone plays games on their phone, Mom. It's fine.
I know. That's fine. There's nobody to talk to though. I like to talk, James.
No, I like to talk in games. The games I didn't enjoy is when everyone's taking it too seriously and the conversation is gone.
What games am I taking too seriously?
The Concordia,
James?
And
he really
fast
doesn't
food
like
magnate,
Concordia.
Where everyone's just deep in it and it's
food
like,
chain magnate.
You got to think about your next move too much and you can't like stop and interact as much.
But I wouldn't say we're taking it too seriously.
Too
we're just
seriously
being thoughtful.
For me, it's too serious.
I'm sorry you don't like to think, James.
I don't.
No, that makes a lot of sense. Like, there's games that they call head down games where you're just like planning your turns and like there's not a lot going on above the board. But as you get more used to playing these type of games, you can play more above the board because you're not spending so much time thinking about the rules mechanisms, or you just understand the game flow a little better so you can make your choices faster, which gives you more time to interact with people on a social level.
So I have to play the same games again is what you're telling me?
I'm just saying you should always be playing games with me. I mean, I think that's the real answer. It's also like for the interaction level, like there's solo gaming out there and I just absolutely can't wrap my head around why anyone would play a game by themselves without like some sort of competition where that's not like the game AI. Like I'll just do a crossword puzzle. But if I'm going to spend the time to set up a game, I want to have a social experience. And I understand there's different things for all people. Oh my goodness, we are about out of time here. Mom, Dad, thank you so much for coming on the show.
It's been lovely having you.
Yeah, it was fun to be here.
And
love finding where you work.
Yeah,
hunt you down.
Thank you all for listening to Winner's Bias. If you would like to comment on the show, have any questions, or suggest discussion topics, you can email us at winnersbias@kbu.org. And you can find us on Instagram at Winner's Bias. I'm Nate.
And I'm James. Each year, about 10% of KBOO's revenue comes from a federal public radio grant. We don't know if we can rely on that grant in the future, but we know we can rely on you. Have us reach our Camp KBOO Summer Membership Drive goal of $50,000 before June 29th. You can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. And remember, it's not about the games you play, but how you throw your parents into your hobby. Have a good one.